When the time comes and I'm standing at the river that separates the two worlds that I love, torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home, celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. I have spent most of my life on earth preparing to take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I take my final fleeting breath,
I like that.
Into the gentle sleep of death.
What a day that's going to be there, my dearest friend. I'm telling you, we are going to have a good broadcast today. Let me put that music on hold. We're going to have a great broadcast today, and we've got an exceptional subject. Now, I love the book of Revelation. I love the whole Bible, but I love the book of Revelation especially. It really is a powerful book, and it will change your life when you live in the book of Revelation. And so today we're going to go to Revelation chapter 19. And I'm going to put a picture in front of you that is brand new to me. I'm going to show the connection between the marriage supper of the Lamb and the great battle of Armageddon. These two great truths are in the same chapter. John saw them together, and they really do fit together. The great event called the marriage supper, where the bride of Christ will be welcomed and become his eternal bride, and Jesus will become the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They will anoint him as such. And then when that great celebration concludes, immediately, the Lord Jesus and his bride leaves heaven and comes back to the earth. And they come for several reasons, actually. They come to end this whole reign of the Antichrist, the devil, the false prophet, and that evil crowd. They come to judge that and to literally judge the wickedness of this earth. He also comes to set up his kingdom and to reign 1,000 years on this earth. Now, I don't know whether you understand how momentous this kind of truth is. It's really momentous. It's beyond being glorious. It's beyond being triumphant. It's beyond being momentous. It's the grand finale that God has planned through the history of his saints and his children. A grand finale. The great moment. Now let's go. Take your Bible. Turn in your Bible to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Let me read a few verses, and you just stick with me now. I hope you'll open your Bible. I hope you'll open your Bible, because when you open your Bible, you don't understand how much powerful that is. You know, when you shut the Bible, you shut the mouth of God. Did you understand that? When you shut the Bible, and I don't mean just close the lid, I mean you shut the Bible out and you quit reading it, you just shut the mouth of God. You really did. And so you need to get in this book, and it needs to become such a part of your life that God can use his book in your life. Now, the great the great battle of Armageddon. Now, this great truth has been talked about by secular people. They use it as kind of a picture of some grand finale, some great moment of destruction, some great time of judgment. There are many reasons people use the words Armageddon, and often they use it in jest. There's a book now for the election this year between Trump and Clinton, and it's called Armageddon, written by a very noted man who is very much a supporter of Donald Trump, and I understand he's got the right perspective, and his name's his book Armageddon. Because if we get Hillary, it's Armageddon. That's all I know to say. Or at least it's the preparation for Armageddon. Let me take you in your Bible to the book of Revelation 19. After these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven. Much people in heaven. Oh boy, those saints of God up there, the glorified, raptured crowd, they're up there and they are excited because it's coming down to the wire now. It's coming down to the end. And they're saying, Alleluia. Alleluia, which is the same as hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments, for he hath judged the great whore. That's that false religious crowd. I mentioned that last week. That's that great false church, that one world church that almost the whole church world now is going after. Almost the whole church world is going after it. Well, they are worshiping God here because that great religious whore has been judged. Verse 3. And again they said, Alleluia. And the smoke, and her smoke, that's the smoke of this false church, rose up forever and ever. It's a judgment forever and ever. Do you hear me? And the 24 elders, that's the crowd that was raptured. You saw them in Revelation 4. The 24 elders and four beasts fell down and worshiped God on his throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. Boy, I like that word, Alleluia. That's three times there. And a voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, and you that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude. There's the voice of many waters and the voice of mighty thundering saying, Alleluia again, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad. Now notice, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. Now, the next four verses are dealing with this great celebration. Well, the next three verses, including that verse, are dealing with this great celebration of the wedding supper in heaven. The bride married to the bridegroom. Oh, what an event. The great celebration of the wedding supper. Hallelujah. That raptured crowd are joined together with the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And this celebration goes on through verse 10. Beautiful story. But listen, immediately after verse 10, I saw heaven opened. And behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And on his head were many crowns. And he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. He was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now you notice that. We're going to come back to that in a minute. He was clothed in a vesture dipped in blood. I love that. And his name is called the Word of God. Now, he doesn't come alone. He's coming back from heaven. He's riding a great white stallion. He is dressed in all the attire of the Word of God. He's clothed with the Word of God. He's got on a vesture dipped in blood. Now, you got to get that one in your mind, because in a minute, I'm going to come back to that. And this great, I'm sorry, this great Son of God now is preparing to descend from heaven back down to the earth. Now, while he is preparing to descend from heaven, the Antichrist and the false prophet have gathered an army together. I mean an army. Now, listen to me. What has happened, the reason they've gathered this army is Babylon has been destroyed. That's the headquarters of the Antichrist kingdom. And Rome has been destroyed. That's the headquarters of the one world church. Babylon and Rome has been destroyed. I mean, the Bible is clear on that. And now they're gathered in Megiddo, the Antichrist and the false prophet, and they're getting ready to march on Jerusalem because they are ferocious. They are angry beyond words. I mean, they are angry beyond measure, and they're ready to destroy Jerusalem because they are going to put all the blame of this on the Jews, and of course on Christ, and of course on us believers, those of us who believe the Bible. You see, Jews and Christians have always been hated in a measure that nothing else on the face of the earth has been hated. You look at the hatred for the name of Jesus in America right now. You look at the Democrat Party that has such a vengeance against old-time Bible Christianity until they're ready to block us out and run us underground. They literally, the Democrat Party, wants to run the true Bible-believing church underground. When you vote for Hillary Clinton, you are voting for running the church underground, and you need to hear that. When you vote for Hillary Clinton, if you're that insane, you can't be a Christian, you can't be born again, because if you had the nature of Christ, you'd know better, because Jesus is the center of our lives. He really is. But the picture is so clear. It's awesome. It really is. It's awesome. And so we see it. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse. And then after that, of course, he's clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. Now, that crowd are the raptured saints of God who were caught up to heaven 7 years earlier, Revelation chapter 4. The seven-year tribulation period has transpired from Revelation 6 to Revelation 18. Right, you know, you see the triumph over it in Revelation 19. I just read those first verses. And now the bride of Christ is going to ride with Christ and come back from heaven. And we, that bride, and I'm going to be part of it, will be dressed in sparkling garment, white and clean. That's righteousness, the righteousness of Christ. And we will be riding white horses with him. Now, do you get the picture? Do you understand what the Battle of Armageddon is all about? It's not just some dark event. It is a glorious event. Now, it's dark for the Antichrist and the false prophet and his army and wicked people, people who've taken the mark of the beast, people who follow the devil, people who love the world, people who just will not receive what God says in his holy book. It's going to be a sad hour, I'm here to tell you. Well, it goes on. Out of his mouth proceeds a sharp sword, and with it he shall smite the nations with a rod of iron. Did you hear that? And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, there's more to read, and I'll read more as we move along, but I want to open this broadcast up to you. Now, today, I do not want to just sit here and preach it to you. I can do so. I preached this sermon last week right here in our sanctuary. I gave it as a gift a week ago. You can choose that CD as a gift over the booklet I'm offering you today if you desire to do so. And this booklet is all about the great battle, the massive battle of Armageddon, the massive battle of Armageddon. And I want you to get involved. I want questions big time. I want everybody out there to get your questions answered. And I'll put the phone numbers up again. I've got them now to where I can put them up right there. And I didn't get that one fixed this week. I tried to, but I've got to get somebody else to do it. The second number ends with a 4 instead of a 3, okay? 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. Don't forget that 4 now. Don't forget that 4. And then jrc@paulcreek.org is the email. And I want to hear questions. I want us to get in the middle of this great, massive battle of Armageddon. We're talking about the greatest battle ever occurring in human history. This is the battle, the mother of all battles. Remember when Saddam Hussein said that the battle was going to be the mother of all battles when we marched in there to take him out of Kuwait? Well, it was nothing but a skirmish, you know, compared to this battle. But this battle will be the battle of battles. And if you're not ready to meet God and you think you are going to serve the Antichrist or you're going to defeat the Antichrist and you're part of this one world church crowd, I really am burdened for you. I'm deeply, profoundly burdened for you, because it is a dark time, and we're seeing the rise of this one world religion right now. I mean, the Democrat Party is a big part of the rise of this one world religion, one world government, one world education, one world everything. They want to run everything for you. They don't want you running nothing. They'll promise you the moon. I mean, just to get you in their trenches. But friend, listen to me. We are facing it like we've never faced it before. The Battle of Armageddon. No wonder Dick Morris, that wrote that book on Armageddon, talking about this particular election. I agree with him. We're facing Armageddon. We are facing Armageddon, and the rise of the Antichrist is big time. Hatred for Jesus Christ, hatred for Bible-believing Christianity. Man, there's a hatred out there for Bible-believing Christianity. But they can't put it out. They can't stop it. They can no more stop it than you can jerk the sun down out of the orbit. I'm telling you, God's word will live on. His word will never fail. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but he said, my word shall never pass away. Can I say that again? Would everybody out there hear me when I say that? He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall never pass away. Now, lines are open. I'm not going to beg you to call. It's totally up to you, but I would like to hear from you. I really would. 704-391-0588, 1-800-338-7884. And I want to give you this booklet today. This is a booklet on the massive battle of Armageddon. This gives you the details. It's full of scripture. It is a wonderful booklet, and everybody out there ought to have this. You need to get one for your pastor, because your pastor needs to preach on the Battle of Armageddon. We need to let this world know that we're not far away. If Jesus came today, that battle would be fought approximately 7 years from today. If Jesus came, the moment the rapture comes, the 7-year period begins, and at the end of it will be the Battle of Armageddon. Do you understand? The end of the Great Tribulation will be the Battle of Armageddon. Let me read you something that's so very important. These are the words of Jesus, and they are powerful words. Matthew 24, I think it's important that you hear this, very important. Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the power of the heavens shall be shaken. He's talking about the time of the Battle of Armageddon. It won't just be this great white stallion and all those saints descending out of heaven. This whole universe will be shaken like a great earthquake that leaves nothing unmoved on the face of this earth. And he said it. He said it. Jesus said it. Not Brother Chambers. Those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. And on and on. He talks about this momentous time. Now, friend, I don't know what you're thinking, but I'm begging of you to get some sense of where we are and what we're dealing with. I'm begging of you to understand that we are coming down to the end, my friend. We are coming down to the end. And if ever, ever you have got a picture of what is about to happen and what is taking place and all the darkness that's coming to pass, let me read this to you. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. Listen, this is the Battle of Armageddon. This is Jesus on that great white throne. I mean, we're talking about something momentous, in flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. In flame and fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. You on the air, may I help you, please? Well, let me see here why I know why. There we go. There you are, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God. That's what's going to happen. And now you on the air. May I help you, please?
Oh, yes. My question is, when we come back on the white horses, who will we be fighting with? The ones that's left behind on earth, or everybody that's in hell?
We'll be only fighting against people who are on the earth. The people in hell will still be in hell until the 1,000 years are over, and that's when the white throne judgment will occur, and the wicked will come forth to judge. or to be judged, I'm sorry. So when we come back on those white horses, we'll be fighting with the Antichrist and the false prophet and all his armies and all the wicked people on the earth. But Jesus will be at the head of this. And though we will share with him, and I don't know in what ways we will share with him, but the battle is led by Jesus Christ. It will be all the wicked on the earth, Antichrist, all his kingdom, all the ungodly people, and this earth will be cleaned and sanctified and purified so we can reign 1,000 years.
Okay.
Do you understand that?
Yes, I understand now. Now, this another part. If our family members are false prophets, then we will be fighting with them, right?
If our family members are false prophets and they're part of the Antichrist kingdom, they will be on the other end of this battle and they will be judged and destroyed.
Oh, okay. Okay, I understand it now.
Thank you very much, dear lady, and God bless you. God bless you. You know, this is an awesome subject, and most people have never been preached it. Most people know very little about it, and I beg of you, I believe I have another call. I want you to learn. I really do. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Sir, my name is James.
Oh, hey, James.
Thank you. I'm calling about federal government pushing this gender neutral program into the schools.
Well,
they are going to take out any reference to men, women, boy, girl, man, husband and wife, mother and father.
They're going to remove anything that separates and distinguishes between men and women. That's part of their goal. They hate that. See, they've already done it to the Bible. See, you got the new Bibles that God's not a he. God is a somebody. I don't know what they called him because I don't want to hear what they got to say. But they are after that. See, in Mecklenburg, they backed up on some of the stuff, I'm told. But you still will not be able in the Mecklenburg schools to call boys boys or girls girls.
Once they get this done in the public schools, I guarantee you they're going to come after the private schools.
Of course they're going to come after us. But they're gonna get run out of this place. I'm telling you right now, they wouldn't get first base with me. They may put me in jail. I am expecting, if I live a few more years and Jesus tarries, and I pray he don't tarry, I will probably have to go to jail. Who knows what's going to happen? I don't know. But I know one thing. You can't threaten a man of God with heaven, because heaven is going to be wonderful. And when it's time to go, I'm ready to go.
God bless you, sir.
God bless you, sir. Now, all over this listening audience, get your phones. We're on a great, wonderful, marvelous subject. I mean, this is really something so important and so grand that you got to be involved, and you got to get your questions answered, and you got to get ready for the Lord's coming. Did you know he's coming any moment now? He could appear in the sky. What a day that's going to be. Now, the lines are open. I want to give you this article. It's available on the massive battle of Armageddon. And I preached last Sunday on the battle of Armageddon. And that's a CD. You can get that sermon if you'd rather have that CD than the booklet. I probably would let them give you both, but choose one, because we have to pay our bills, and we are desperate for hundreds of new people helping us pay the bills. I really am. I am desperate. I need 1,000 new partners that would every month give us an offering. If you can't give but $5 or $10, then every month you need to give something to this ministry. And so call right now, get the ladies to send you an envelope. You'll have a little envelope in it, and you can become a partner with the ministry that really is on right on dead end. I mean, we are doing the things that so few preachers are doing. When have you heard a sermon on the Battle of Armageddon? What preacher do you know that knows enough about it to preach it? You got to get in this Bible. You got to dig your way through. And when you get in this Bible and you start digging your way through, I mean, these things are wonderful and they're exciting. Oh, hey, let me take you. Now, something I said here early is that the marriage supper actually culminates in Jesus riding a white horse and leading his bride and coming back to heaven. Coming back to the earth. It's like the honeymoon. It's like the celebration of the wedding. The wedding concludes in verse 10 and in verse 11. The bride and the bridegroom get on white horses and head in this direction. I remember when Juanita and I were married. As soon as the wedding celebration and some cake and all was over, we got in that car of mine and headed out to celebrate our wedding. Oh, I'll never forget that day. It was something outstanding, that wonderful girl named Juanita and I, you know, celebrating 61 years ago. Can you believe that? 61 years ago, just celebrated on June the 5th. Well, friend, let me tell you, you're talking about celebration of celebrations. The celebration of celebrations. Say those words with me. The celebration of celebrations is when we get on those white horses with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and we start back toward this earth. Now, I want to tell you something. Did you notice that it said clearly, very clearly, let me read it again, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now, you want to read that, you go to Revelation 19 and verse 13. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. Now, do you know where that blood came from? Before Jesus left heaven, after that wedding celebration was over and he's preparing to leave with his bride, he goes to the temple. He goes to the house of God, the temple, the holiest of holies. And there is his blood on the altar in heaven. It's just as alive as when he put it there 2,000 years ago. And he takes that vesture off and he dips it in that blood. Dips it in that blood. Puts that vesture back on. And the Father says, go for it, son. Go get him, boy. Go get him, son. And he leaves on that white horse and comes back to this earth. And the victory, the triumph and victory of that celebration is in his heart and on his garments, vesture dipped in blood. And he comes for the glory of God and Christ to reign on this earth with his bride 1,000 years. And you on the air, may I help you, please?
I am not calling in a hateful spirit at all. I'm calling with sadness. A few weeks ago, my beautiful granddaughter, who's a high school student in Texas, came and stayed a few weeks in this area with all of us, and she went to one of the great Pentecostal churches of our area. I mean great in size more than anything. And she asked me about it, and she said, Granddaddy, she said, what should our position be on this? The pastor got up and was very overly gentle on the LGBT thing. And I said, she said,
well, overly gentle. Yeah, you mean he defended it?
He wasn't, I don't know that he was promoting it, but he wasn't actually rebuking people for buying into this thinking where they don't think it's quite that bad. And she said, what should it be? And I said, well, honey, he actually ought to be talking about the fact that a lot of even the people in the early church, they have at one time been involved in this, and that we should be trying to pull people out of that lifestyle rather than, we don't have to whip them or anything, but we don't have to say that what they're doing is A-okay. And I was very troubled and upset that this is a very well-known minister in our area. And I hadn't been able to totally get over it. I said, golly, if a Pentecostal church is doing that, what about all these other churches?
Well, the Pentecostals are going that direction. That's been happening for years. I remember when a member of the executive committee of the Church of God came to me and said they just passed a motion at Lee College that they would no longer disallow practicing homosexuals to be students in the school. They would simply just leave it alone. It would be no, don't ask, don't tell. And that was Lee College. And I'll never forget the man who came in and told me that. And he'd been in the meeting because he was on the executive committee. And so that's been happening for years. We can't stand against nothing. Everybody has to be treated with kid gloves. And a homosexual is a sad person. They're going to spend eternity in hell if we don't help them repent and get out of that immoral living. A homosexual reduces their lifestyle on an average, up one third. I did a study of that just recently. One third. See, the Bible says, every sin a man doeth is without his body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. A person committing any kind of immorality, whether it's fornication, whether it's premarriage sex, or whether it's adultery, you know, however you get involved in sexual sins, homosexuality and sodomy is, of course, the darkest end of all of them. You take weeks and months and years off your life. And these dear people who are involved in the homosexual sodomy lifestyle are just destroying their body.
In other words, their real friends are people like you.
Yes.
Their enemies are people that are sprinkling sugar on what they're doing and telling them everything's okay.
That's exactly right. I would never be unkind to a homosexual. I would never be unkind to a lesbian. I would never do anything but witness the gospel to them. I'd welcome them to come here and sit in this place and hear the word of God. They would hear the gospel. They would never be condoned in their sins. In fact, I'm preaching in the morning on this, the destructive powers of sin. The destructive powers of sin. I'm going to preach about the sin of attitudes, the sin of disobedience, the sin of neglect, the sin of unfaithfulness, and the sin of undisciplined conduct. That's my outline. I don't know whether I get to all of them or not, but I'm going to preach on the destructive powers of sin. It'll be just as gentle and tender. And when I get through, I'm going to tell them, I don't care what your sin is, how deep it is, the blood of Jesus will wash it clean. He will make you as though you have never sinned. He will move your sins into the sea of God's forgetfulness. It will never be remembered against you again, and you can live an upright and clean life.
I've got a question for you.
Does that sound like good preaching?
Hallelujah. Praise God. Hallelujah. I was trying to think while you were talking. I said, I wonder what the percentage of preachers are like Brother Chambers in this area right now.
I have no idea, and if somebody knows, don't even tell me.
I've got a question. Somewhere in Revelation, it seems as though that Jerusalem was actually referred to as Sodom.
That's called Sodom and Gomorrah.
Yeah, but they refer to the city of Jerusalem where the Lord was crucified as Sodom.
It is still that way.
Yeah.
I mean, there's good people there too, but it's full of wickedness, and many of them reject the wonderful truth of the Bible, but there's some wonderful people there. And the Bible says that God has angels sitting on the walls of Jerusalem protecting that place until the moment that Jesus marches there. You see, when the Battle of Armageddon, that's one of the beauties of it. As soon as he wins in the Valley of Megiddo against the Antichrist and all his army, all of that crowd's cleaned up and judged and burned into oblivion. If you read the book of Joel, you'll find out that their eyes will melt in their sockets and run down their faces. And they literally, see, when they see him in the sky, and he appears in all of his glory as though a sword is coming out of his mouth, which is the word of God. It'll be the fire will be worse than an atomic bomb.
By the way, in 1945, when the two atomic bombs were dropped, some of the gunners, the light was so bright and the heat was so intense that their eyes literally melted like egg yolk out of their eye sockets, exactly the way it was described in the Bible.
Brother, I'm telling you, this Battle of Armageddon, when I just said what I said about that when he appears in that sky, I mean, he's not coming back like the Lamb who came the first time. He's coming back like the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And he's coming to clean up sin from one end to the other and to burn it with fire until it will be destroyed.
And he won't have to use Clorox, really.
No. The very appearance of that massive blessed one will be all that's needed, friend. Somebody says, what are we going to do? We're going to follow behind him shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, because he's going to win the battle.
Praise God.
What a day. Hey, did you just hear me talk about that vesture dipped in blood?
I think I missed that.
Well, I said a while ago, and I've never seen this before the last Sunday when I was preaching. When Jesus, before he got on that white stallion to leave heaven, he went to the temple. And he dipped his vesture in the blood on the altar that he had shed, put there 2,000 years ago. He dips his vesture so that you see him in Revelation 19 and 13, and he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. He dipped his vesture in blood because it's his blood that's going to judge this universe and clean up the wickedness.
When you first said that, tears began to come to my eyes.
Oh, when I said it last Sunday morning, I like to went bananas. I'm not kidding you. When I said those words by the Holy Ghost, I'd never thought about it. It overwhelmed me, and the Spirit of God just shook my very body.
I was telling somebody recently, you do not read the Bible. You must study the Bible. You must ponder those things in your heart the way Mary did.
Amen. Everybody out there, read Revelation 19 this week and look at the marriage supper and the great battle of Armageddon. It is overwhelming.
When every night when I sit down in my den, I get one of your little the papers that you send out, and then I get into I've got a book by Oliver Green on Revelation, and I get into that. I can't stay away from it.
What, do you have my book on Revelation? Do you have my book on Revelation?
You mean, yeah, I've got that one too.
All right, well then read it sometime along with Oliver North, okay? I mean Oliver Green, I'm sorry. God bless you, I love you.
Thank you.
Bye, you on the air, may I help you please?
Hey, preacher, I have a question. What does the Bible mean when it says God descended into hell?
It means exactly what it says. You see, when Jesus died on the cross, hell was at that time a department. It was two places, lower hell and upper hell, lower Sheol and upper Sheol. Lower Sheol was where the wicked, like Lazarus, you know whom Jesus, the man, not Lazarus, the man that, what was his name, Lazarus? The man that went into Abraham's bosom? Yeah, Lazarus. Lazarus went into Abraham's bosom. That was upper Sheol. But then lower Sheol is where the wicked went. And so Jesus went into upper Sheol. Upper Sheol, where the righteous people from Adam all the way to the very moment that this occurred, where they were being retained because they couldn't go to heaven because he hadn't shed his blood on the cross yet. And so all those people had to wait for Jesus to be crucified before they could go to heaven. And the Bible says he arose out of the grave, and all of those godly people who was in Upper Sheol ascended with him to heaven.
That's good. I thank you. That straightened me out.
I'm delighted, and God bless your heart. Now, call us quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 1-800-338-7884. This is good stuff. This is good material, friend. I'm here to tell you, we are living right on the verge of the King coming, and if you're not ready, you've got to get ready. You've got to get ready. And if you don't understand the Battle of Armageddon and understand how it ties to the great marriage supper and that they are just kind of blend together. See, I've never preached that before. In fact, I just really have seen it because it's so rich in this one chapter. You got this great celebration of the marriage supper, and immediately you got Jesus and that great company of those who are his bride getting on these white horses and they head for this earth. Because you see, we're going to reign on this earth 1,000 years. It's going to be the kingdom of righteousness. And righteousness is going to cover this earth as the waters cover the sea. You've read where the lamb and the lion shall lay down together, where a child shall play on the cockatrice's den. You've read all these great promises of harvest time and a garden of Eden on this earth. Friend, it's coming. It's coming. And those saints of God are going to be part. If you're not living right, you are really being so careless. How could you not live right on the verge of the King coming? How in this dark day, when politics and everything is rotten, I am amazed at the evil out there in the political arena. They are so determined to destroy Donald Trump. I mean, they are taking everything he says and turning it all kinds of ways. He's going to be honest. He's going to say what needs to be said. Who know? Don't you know that Obama and Hillary are responsible for ISIS? You ought to know that. Oh, you can't even look at the news and not know that. I mean, what do you need? What, you need somebody to hit you with a 2x4 or maybe a 4x4? I don't know what you need. But you need to hear what's going on. And you need to get in this Bible and you need to come become a lover of Jesus. A lover of Jesus. A lover of the Savior and His grace. Now, I want to answer your question. I want you to disagree with me if you want to. But do it nicely now. Do it kindly. We're going to keep everything nice and kind and Christian. Call me 1-800-338-7884. 704-391-0588. And jrc@paulcreek.org. I got to go and see if I have any emails here. Let me see if I can get out of here without making a mess. You know, I have to be so careful. I have to be so careful. I'm looking for your email. Anybody that sent me one, I'm trying to see here. No, that's not one. All right. Now, you are welcome to send me an email. I will do my best answer. I really will. And listen, I care about you. I want your questions answered. I want you to know the truth of this Bible. I really do. I want you to know the truth of this Bible. Now, no questions there, so give me a call. I want to hear from you. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Okay, 704-391-0588, and then email jrc@paulcreek.org, jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, we are talking today about the Battle of Armageddon, the Battle of Armageddon. I've shown you in the Bible that you've got the marriage supper at the beginning of Revelation chapter 19. Beautiful picture there, verses 7, 8, 9, 10 of Revelation 19 is all about the marriage supper. And then immediately in verse 11, we move into the preparation for the Battle of Armageddon. And Jesus gets on that white horse, and here he comes. My friend, that's going to be one spectacular day. Oh, I want you to be there. I want you to be there. Now, what is your question? What don't you understand about the Battle of Armageddon? What don't you understand about all these great saints of God on white horses coming back with Him? What don't you understand about that great army of the Antichrist and the false prophet that have gathered in Megiddo and they're ready to march on Jerusalem and the fear of God comes up in his face and he says, no, hold it, wait a minute. And Jesus comes to fight this great battle and clean up this wicked earth. Oh, I'm telling you, that is going to be a spectacular hour. And if you don't understand it, I'm here. That's why I'm here, is to help you understand it. I'm here to open up your mind to this great truth so that you can have a picture of where we are and what we are enduring, what we're facing, and how soon it is at the door. And people, I'm amazed at the call a while ago. He didn't name the church. I didn't want him to. But preachers, I mean big name preachers, are being soft now on homosexuality. They are afraid of judgment. They're afraid. I'm not talking about judgment. They're afraid of the anger of the world. I mean, look at how people will come after you because you have a stand. That's a biblical stand. I'm not going to change. I'm going to be right here in this book with all I've got because I care too much about you. I would have to answer for you if I told you an untruth. I would have to answer for it. A man of God says what's in this book, and he don't say nothing else. And if he don't say what's in this book, he isn't a man of God. I don't care what his name is. I don't care how big his salary is. I don't care how big his congregation is. If you don't preach what's in this book, you cannot call yourself a man of God. That is impossible. If you don't preach against sodomy, oh yes, you tell the sodomite person, you can repent and Jesus will forgive you and he'll cleanse you. And humbly and gently, you seek to win them to Christ. I have nothing but compassion for every lost soul on the face of this earth. There's nobody lost that I'm angry with. I would like to see Hillary Clinton repent and get saved and get right with God. Her and Bill, I think they've gone too far. I think they're so full of blasphemy and evil until they've gone too far. But if it's possible, it sure would make me happy. We're living right on the verge of his coming. Now, while you're calling, I don't want anybody to miss this. Let me read you. And he was clothed with a vesture, dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations with a rod of iron. Smite the nations with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, what's your call? What's your question? How many of you are ready to go? How many of you understand this? And so you can say, Reverend Chambers, this all makes sense because I've been reading it in the Bible. Call me and tell me if that's true. We've got 17 minutes, and I want every one of them to be tied up in a phone call from you. So don't sit there and think something that you don't know. Call in. You may be asking the question that 1,000 other people would like to ask. Maybe many of them in other countries, and they don't want to go through the expense of calling out of another country to me today. But they hear in the program, and they will hear it many, many hundreds, thousands will hear it in the days to come. But I'm here to tell you, it's later than you think, and you must understand and live in this Bible. And I want to take a moment, since I'm preaching in the morning, on the destructive powers of sin, to warn you, whatever your sin is, it may be a little sin of lying. That's really a big sin, but this generation would call it little. It may be a sin of some kind of fornication. It may be a sin of immorality. You may dress, completely out of this, out of anything reasonable and modest. You may dress like a worldly person, exposing all of your skin, not knowing that it's the flesh that produces lust and causes people to have lustful feelings. Friend, we need to live like godly people and dress like godly people and conduct ourselves like godly people. This Bible is the infallible Word of God, and everything he names as sin is sin. Everything he names as sin is sin. Do you understand? And every sin, even little sins, can send you to hell if they're not repented of and forsaken. So I beg of you to turn to God with all of your heart, to turn to Christ with all of your heart, and to get ready for the rapture. Do you know Jesus is coming at any moment? How many of you understand that nothing has to happen for Jesus to come in the clouds of glory? It can be before this program is over and we don't have a 16 minutes. It could be before tomorrow comes. I'm here to tell you, we are just that near the coming of the Lord. And people say, oh no, it's probably a long ways. Well, why would anybody want to say it's a long ways? Who knows? Why wouldn't you want to say it's any moment? I mean, that just think that's what you ought to say, it's any moment. It can come at any moment, and what a day it's going to be when Jesus comes in all the clouds of glory. And I care about you, friend. I care about you. I want you to be ready to go. I want you to live right. Now, question. Let's have it. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I have to be so careful with this thing. And if you're sending an email, I haven't got them, okay? I had this trouble a couple weeks ago. Let me look around here a minute and see if there's any that might be in junk. Any in junk? Okay, read. Can't see this. All right, I don't presume any of these are emails for me. You don't have to be so careful here. If I hit the wrong button, I can make a mess. I really can. So I have to be very careful. Send us your email. Would love to have them. I'll do my best to answer. I promise you that. That's how much I care about you. I want to help you. I want to answer. I want to bring you some information that will open your mind and understanding. And I want to make sure you get this article. Will you? Everybody out there, grab your phone. The ladies are standing right now, staying at the phones, waiting on your call. They want to help you, okay? They want to help you. 704-391-0588 will give this to you, a booklet on the massive battle of Armageddon. We'll give this booklet to you, the massive battle of Armageddon. Now keep calling. We want everybody out there to hear and receive something that will affect your life today. You are very important, and you are on the air. May I help you, please?
Hey, Brother Chambers.
Hey.
You know, talking about Armageddon, you know, in Isaiah says that when Jesus returns, Armageddon, that he will be so angry with his enemy, he said, I will throw him into my father's wine press, and I will get in there, and I will stomp their blood out until it reaches the bridle of the horses. And
No question. When we talk about the coming judgment, we're not talking about a little pretty thing. And the world don't like to deal with this. They want to think, no, it couldn't be like that. Let me read you what the Bible says. And this shall be the plague wherewith the Lord shall smite all the people that have fought against Jerusalem. Their flesh shall consume away while they stand upon their feet, and their eyes shall consume away in their holes, and their tongue shall consume away in their mouth. And it shall come to pass that day that a great tumult from the Lord shall be among them. Now, when you begin to read all of these Old Testament prophets, many of them spoke of it with these kind of straightforward words. And then, because I read what Paul said, I read what Jesus said, I read what Revelation said, there's no question. The judgment that's coming is overwhelming.
Exactly right. And, you know, most of the preachers today are not preaching the wrath of God. They're preaching, you know, this easy stuff, the love of God. And don't get me wrong, without the love of God, we'd all be in hell. But there's also a wrath side of God that needs to be.
Well, it's sad to me. And you know, I've heard many sermons in my 64 years. And some of the greatest were sermons that just showed what sin does to you. I preach against sin because I care about people who are living in sin. And I can tell them, all you've got to do is repent and turn from it, and he will wash your sins away and make you as though you have never sinned. I mean, what in the world could be more wonderful than understanding the horror of sin and then understanding that he will forgive you and wash it away?
That's exactly right.
Now, if we don't preach both sides of that, that would be bad. I don't believe in just preaching a message about sin and leaving the sinner sitting there in the grip of it with no hope. I tell him, hey, all you got to do is turn. Turn around. Turn back. Turn to God. But sin is a horrible thing. I'm a man 80 years old. And I go into places all the time and people look at me and say, how old are you? And I say, I'm 80. You're not 80. I said, well, I know I am. How in the world are you so healthy looking? And I always say, listen, live right. Live right. And I always say, quit fornicating. Quit drinking. Quit taking any kind of drugs. Quit smoking. Quit chewing tobacco. Quit lying. Quit doing all those things of sin. And I get amazed at the way people's face just turns red. And you tell they're guilty. And most people are not willing to turn from sin. Sin is a horrible thing. Sin is a horrible thing. God created you in his image for his glory. Now, if God created me and you for his glory and his image, it's a beautiful thing to preach righteousness and clean living.
And I tell you another thing, a lot of Christians need to stop. They need to stop sowing discord amongst the brethren. You know, God hates.
Well, that's a terrible sin. That's a terrible sin. When you sow discord and you tear down a brother or a sister, I've had people to literally be driven from the church right where I pastored because somebody tore down me to them and told everything they could think of. That's so bad. And we must not do that for nobody. For nobody. Whatever somebody's done to you, put it on the altar and forgive them and go on just like it never happened.
That's exactly right. One other thing, Brother Chambers, you don't have to do it now, but whenever you get time, just remember me in prayer. I'm having a problem with some staph infection.
Well, would you like to be healed right now?
Yes, sir.
Right now. Yes. Father, I bind this staph infection in my brother's life right now. I command it out. I claim the gift of healing that's available by the Holy Ghost, Father. Not Joe Chambers, but that virtue of healing that comes by the Spirit, through the blood, by the stripes on his back. I claim healing in my brother now, today. Now, today. And I pray, Father, you'll give him faith to rest in it and claim it and never doubt it and go in the name of Jesus. Claim it healed, brother, and thank him for it. And if you have a symptom, don't believe it. Symptoms are not nothing but lies. The devil will make you feel symptoms to make you think you still got it. Don't believe it. I claim you healed, okay?
I appreciate it, Brother Chambers.
I claim you heal, brother. God bless you. Now call quickly, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Hey, I want to preach to you tomorrow. Why don't you come and hear me preach on this wonderful message? I'm not kidding you. This wonderful message. And I say wonderful because I'm going to preach it with such faith and such a positiveness that it's not going to be hard. It's not going to be something that you won't enjoy. It's going to be a message right from the heart of an old man of God, the destructive powers of sin. And I'm going to take you to Calvary and show you how he can make a new creature out of you and clean you up. And you will be like a brand new person to live a happy and victorious life. There's nothing as wonderful as living right. There is nothing as wonderful as living right. How many out there can raise a hand right at the internet or the radio and say, there's nothing more wonderful than living right, living clean. Hallelujah. Sleeping at night because there's no sin on your heart and your heart is clean. Now, the lines are open. The way it looks to me, every line is open. And so all of you can call right now, 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. I'm going to take one more look. I don't know. Sometimes I get so many emails, I can't read them all. And then sometimes I don't get any. I'm going to see here if I've got any today. Emails, I'm looking here. Wait a minute. I'm not at the right place. How about that? You got to be at the right place. Did you know that? All right. Here we go. Here's one. Please, Reverend James, where did the soul, the Spirit, Jesus, who were the saints, who were the spirits Jesus ministered to in hell? Who were the saints or the spirits ministered to in hell? These were all the Old Testament Christians. All the Old Testament Christians. Every last one of them. But there were some among them who'd been disobedient, who yet they had a chance because they had done all they knew was right. I don't know the definition of all that, I'm telling you. But I can tell you, they were people of the Old Testament era. Remember what, remember it was David who said in the book of Psalms, he will not leave my soul in hell. That was up a Sheol. That's where Jesus went. So it's a beautiful truth. It really is. Thank you. Only one there. And I'm grateful for that one. I'm glad to answer and do my best to help you. Now, if you have a question, I will do my best to answer. But I want to tell you, Jesus is coming. The rapture is next. At any moment, the rapture could occur. Immediately after the rapture is a 7-year tribulation period on earth. But the same time the tribulation period is going on earth, the church will be having a wedding, a celebration in the heavens. So there'll be a 7-year wedding celebration and a 7-year tribulation on earth. And both of them will be occurring simultaneously. And when the tribulation is over, the wedding will be over. And then we're coming back with Christ to reign on this earth 1,000 years. Now, if you don't understand that, I want you to get that. I'd love to give you the sermon. I promise you the sermon I preached last Sunday on the great tribulation. I'm sorry, the great battle of Armageddon. I would love for you to have it because I want you to know these wonderful truths. Now, my time is leaving. And I appreciate every call. I believe I have communicated to a lot of people. I think you understand. I've tried to make it as plain as I can. Revelation 19, verses 7 through 10. You've got a picture of the wedding supper, the great celebration of the bride with Christ. Remember Jesus in Matthew 25 talked about the 10 virgins and the call come to the wedding. Well, that call's coming any day. And that's what the rapture is, a call to the wedding, a call to the wedding. And then while we're having the wedding, the tribulation going on down here. And then in Revelation 19 and verse 11, Jesus gets on a white horse. His church, his bride gets on white horses. And we come down to clean up the sinful mess. Clean up. And you've heard it in very explicit terms today, the best I know how, because I want you to understand what we're dealing with. And I want you to make sure you are ready. If you're not saved, why don't you give him your heart right now? Would you consider that? How many of you out there would like right now for Brother Chambers to help you surrender your life to Christ? Right now, I would love to help you surrender your life to Christ. If you will repent of your sins, I mean repent, that means you forsake them. You're sorry for them. You're through with them. You're turning to Christ and the shed blood of the cross. You're claiming his saving grace by his blood. You're surrendering your life to him. You're giving him your all. Father, pray with me. Father, I repent of my sins. Say that, sinner. I repent of my sins. I am sorry for my sins. I am turning by the grace of God from my sins. I can't live right, but you can live right in me, Father. And I turn my life over to you to manifest your grace, to make me a new creature. I claim your born again grace is working in me. Write my name in the book of life. Make me one of your children. I'm ready to serve you, Lord. I'm ready to live for you the rest of my life. And I claim that right now. I claim I am saved by the blood. I'm part of the family of God. I belong to Christ. I'm his. Can you claim that? Will you do it? Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for anybody that's prayed with me. Maybe they haven't been able yet, but I pray you'll give them grace to do it. Don't wait, friend. It's late. It's very late. The situation you see in your world, it's going to get nothing but worse. I'm here to tell you, darkness is coming and wickedness is growing. And the filth of this world is indescribable. I mean, they don't want anybody naming Jesus. They don't want anybody preaching against a lifestyle of immorality and fornication or sodomy or whatever the sins are. Oh, no, they don't want that. They want you doing nothing but holy things. Talking about pure things. That's not what they want. They just want you to live like you please and do like you please. Let me get it right here. You know, I hope you hear the sermon in the morning. Oh, the destructive powers of sin. They are horrible. They really are. Now, I've enjoyed talking with you. Next week, I am planning something very, very special. I really am. A broadcast that I think you're going to love. Well, maybe you won't love it, but you'll understand it. I'm going to talk next Saturday about what happens when a sinner dies. From the moment a sinner breathes his last breath, I'm going to follow through and show you what happens to sinners when they die. I don't want you to miss that. I really don't. I really don't want you to miss that. That's how important it is to me. Now, listen to me. Jesus is coming. He's coming any moment now, any moment, and I want you to get ready. I really do. I want you to get ready. The coming of the Lord is at the door, and I want you to go when he comes. I want you to go. I love you. It's been a joy. I've enjoyed doing the broadcast, and may the joy of heaven be yours. I really mean that.
Torn between my precious friends and my family, and the place of peace that's waiting up above. Hold my hand and stay there by my side, and when I finally step into the tide, celebrate me home. Celebrate me there, celebrate me in that land of wonder where nothing can compare. Celebrate me in that place, celebrate me saved by grace. Don't just sit and weep because I'm gone. Celebrate me home. Take the trip from here to heaven's throne. With the shield and word of God to guide me, it's a comfort knowing I am not alone. So when I